Well, you know, Hosea, preaching to the northern kingdom, said that Israel had committed spiritual whoredoms. That spirit of whoredoms that Hosea mentions in the fifth chapter of the book of Hosea, that spirit of whoredoms was a spirit of evilness. We're not wrestling against principality or against flesh and blood. But Paul said we're wrestling against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's some things going on in this nation I'd never believed would ever happen in my lifetime, but it is. And boy, if it's ever a time that God's people ought to stand and stand for what's right, stand against what's wrong, it's in the day that we live. And I tell my people, you know, we need to be made aware of what's going on and what's wrong in this nation. And I'm going to stand up by the book. Amen. I hope you feel that way. Well, Exodus chapter 15. Boy, it's good to be back at camp meeting at Grace. My wife sends her love and wanted me to tell you, thank you for all your prayers. She's doing much, much better. And thank God for what He's brought her through and brought us through. God's been good to us. The only thing that bothers me is she's got more hair now than I do. Some of you that don't know, my wife's come through breast cancer. And she lost all of her hair, and all of her hair's come back, and she picks at me about, you know, that she's got much more hair than I do now. But that's okay, and I'm glad she's doing good, feeling good. Exodus chapter 15. Would you stand in honor to the reading of the Word of God? It's good to be here these nights. Looking forward to this week. Verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake and saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him and habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank in the bottom as a stone. Skip down to verse 8. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Look at verse 10. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Father, I pray you bless the reading and the preaching of your word tonight. Lord, bless in this meeting this week. Bless every preacher that'll stand where I'm standing tonight. God, give them the message that we're in need of. And God, I pray that your word would go out, not in word only, but in power and demonstration of your great spirit. And Father, I pray you'd do a work within us this week that we cannot do ourselves. But God, I pray you'd revive your people, that God, we might rejoice in thee. God bless Grace Baptist Church. I thank you, Lord, for what they mean to me and my family, and what they've meant to us through the years. I pray you'd bless this dear pastor and his wonderful wife. God, just pour your blessings out upon this place. Now, God, would you lead your servant tonight? Give us that we need. Give me liberty to preach. Help me to help your people that their hearts may be encouraged. God, if there's one that's lost, may they see their need of the dying Savior before it's too late. We'll be very careful to bow our unworthy heads at the bloodstained feet of our Savior and Lord, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Keep your Bibles open here to Exodus chapter 15. I'll refer to other scriptures as we go through this. I want to preach tonight on the waters. The waters. We find here that God has brought the children of Israel to a place of a crossing. He brought them to the Red Sea, where He has done a great work on their behalf. And here in chapter 15 of Exodus, we find four different kinds of waters that God is going to use in the life of the children of Israel. And I want to walk through these four different waters tonight and get us a glimpse of what God can do for us. And I don't know what God's done in your life, but I know what He's done in my life. I don't know what's happened in your life this past year. I know what's happened in mine and my wife's life this past year. I don't know what's going to happen in your life this coming year. But I want you to know that God is still God, no matter what we face. But in the beginning of this chapter, we find Moses is singing the very first song that's ever sung in all of the Bible. And aren't you glad that God still gives people a song to sing as we journey through this world? And Moses is singing about the mighty waters that God has brought him and the Israelites through. They've come out of Egypt and they've come somewhere in between. Have you ever been to that place that you're in between? There's nowhere to go and nowhere to turn, and it's not where you were and it's not where you're supposed to be, but it's somewhere right in between. Oh, but by the power of God, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. After the blood had been applied to the doorpost and to the lintel, after that blood had been applied, God delivered the children of Israel, and He's brought them to an impossible crossing here at the Red Sea. They look back and they see the dust boiling up of Pharaoh's army quickly coming in behind them. The Red Sea is before them. The mountain is on one side of them. The desert is on the other side. And there's Pharaoh and his army coming after them. Have you ever been to that place in your Christian life? And my friend, that seemed like that the world was just coming in behind you and trying to keep you from giving your life to God. And after you did get saved, you're sitting in church and seemed like that the devil was right behind you, like those horses breathing down your neck, telling you that you can't live for God, that you can't go on for God. But oh, listen, you don't turn back, thank God. Just keep on going, because God will be there and He'll lead us to the other side. And so here they were, in between coming out of Egypt and going to where God was going to take them. They had come to an impossible crossing, and they came to what I call, first of all, write this down. They came here in verse 10 to these mighty waters. I want to call those mighty waters big waters. It's bigger than they are. It's deeper than they are. It's an impossibility. Anybody here tonight know anything about looking at impossibilities? It was big waters. They cannot cross it by themselves. There's nowhere to go. They can't go back. They can't go forward. They're standing in front of mighty or big waters. Now, I don't know about you, But I've had some big waters in my Christian life. And I may be preaching to some people here tonight that, my friend, you down deep in your heart, you face some big, deep waters. Maybe things are not as good at home. Maybe things have been difficult around your house in this past year. Maybe the doctor has given you bad news. I don't know what's happened in your life. But I tell you, there may be a trial down deep in your heart tonight that nobody else knows about, but you're staring at big waters. But I'm here to tell you that those big waters can be turned into blessings, because God can take big waters and turn them into miracle waters. And God will bring you to big waters sometimes and that nobody else can do anything about. You can't do anything about it. But oh, listen, I'm serving a God that when you and I are standing in front of big waters, oh, we've got a miracle working God that can take big waters and turn them into miracle water. I tell you, I want to say I believe in a God that does miracles. The God of this Bible is a miracle working God. He's able to cross big waters. And there's nothing too hard when it comes to God. Now, with man, things are impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. All things are possible when it comes to the God of this book. And I believe in a God of miracles. How do you know, preacher? Well, when I read this Bible, I find that Jesus one day stuck his hand in the water, pulled out a fish, and out of that fish's mouth, he met his need. I read in this Bible that when the God of this Bible came to a funeral, I tell you, he made the undertakers lose their faith because he made the dead get up and walk back to the house. I tell you, I serve a God that's a miracle-working God, that when he faces big waters, hey, he can stand in the midst of a storm and speak, and everything becomes calm. I'm glad that I'm serving a God that is a miracle-working God. You listen to me tonight. When waters are over our heads, they're under his feet. I'm serving a God that can take big waters and turn them into miracle waters. I don't know about you tonight, but if you're facing big waters, God can take those big waters and turn them into miracle waters. But look here at verse 22. Let's look. Not only does he take big waters and turns them into miracle waters, but look at verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now look at me. I mean, it wasn't but just a moment ago they were drowning. They were going to drown in the midst of the Red Sea. But now they're out there in the wilderness of Shur, and they find no water. Now, I call this the barren waters. God can take big waters and turn them into miracle water, but oh, here we find they've come to the wilderness of Shur and they found no water. This is barren water. Anybody here tonight ever been to a place in your Christian life that, my friend, that you knew what barrenness was? Somebody said, barrenness means you're backslidden. No, I don't agree with that. Barrenness doesn't mean you're backslidden. Barrenness means, my friend, I went blank. Barrenness means that you're unfruitful, that you're barren. There's nothing happening. And when I read in the Bible and find Hannah, who the Bible says the Lord shut up her womb, and so God had brought a season of barrenness in the life of that young woman named Hannah. Hannah was not backslidden. She was just in a barren season in her life. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Some of you tonight, sitting here in this church, may be going through some experiences of barren times in your life. You've been barren. My friend, God will allow you and I to walk through the barren desert of our lives when it becomes dry and thirsty. My friend, you're here and you say, well, I'd rather go through the Red Sea and see God roll the waters back and wall the waters up. That's a miracle. I'd rather see God dry the ground up when we ought to have been marring up in pure mud. God worked a miracle. I'd rather see the miracle working God. But I want you to know, my friend, sometimes God will let us go through big waters to show us that He can turn them into miracle water. But sometimes God will let us go through the barren waters that we might learn in the seasons of our life that we need to trust Him and have faith in Him, that the God that can work miracles is the same God that can take the barrenness, the dry and the thirsty part of our lives and give us that we need if we'll just trust in Him. I tell you, we can't live from miracle to miracle, but we got to learn to trust God in our Christian life. That's why so many are up and down, in and out, off and on. They've got to the place that all they want is a miracle working God. My friend, listen, we've got to learn to get in the valleys and go through the wilderness and those dry times that we might learn to trust God, that we trust Him in the dryness of our life. My friend, you may be barren in your Christian life tonight, and you're tempted to quit on God because things are dried up in your life. Well, I want to encourage you tonight to stay with God, stay in the house of God. But look here in verse 22. Moses brought the Israelites from the Red Sea. He said, you're in the middle of this verse, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. The word Shur here means walls. Walls, W-A-L-L-S. And oh, listen, this really fits if you think about it. We could actually say they went into the wilderness of walls. You ever felt like God walls you in? I mean, have you ever felt like God just closed you in? It's a place where there's no doors. All there is just walls. There are times that God just walls us in. Some of you sitting here tonight, you've tried to get ahead of God. God says you can't do that. And God will just wall you in. I tell you, listen, God wants you to learn to trust Him. Somebody said, well, I don't know why God has not blessed me and my family. My friend, I've had people say, preacher, I don't understand why God never let me get that job. He let that other person get that job. Somebody said, well, I don't understand why God don't bless my home, bless my marriage. My friend, you know why God has walled us in and brought us to that barren waters? My friend, so we can learn to trust Him in those barren times. Look here in verse 22. The Bible said in verse 22 that they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now, my friend, it didn't mean that there was no water there. It meant that they found no water. Could it be that there was water there, but God had just hidden it from them? Well, I can say I believe that is what is here in the Scriptures. The Bible said they found no water. But it didn't mean there wasn't no water there. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if you go back into the book of Genesis, chapter 16, don't turn there. Abraham and Sarah has not had that promised child. And Sarah gives Abraham permission to go into her handmaid and Hagar, and there she conceives and has Ishmael. But just as soon as Ishmael is born, there's conflict that comes in the home of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah gets bitter toward Hagar. And Abraham gives her permission to do whatever she wants to with Hagar. And she makes it so hard on Hagar that she leaves the household of Abraham. Now here's what I'm getting at. Hagar goes out, and the Bible said in Genesis 16 that the angel of God finds Hagar by a well in the wilderness of Shur. Same place. Was it there was no water there? No. There was water there, but God had hidden it from them. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Hey, God brings us to barren waters that we might learn to trust Him, because it's not always a time to drink, but it might be a time to just trust Him. Now look here in verse 22. They went 3 days in the wilderness of Shur, in the wilderness, and they found no water. Can I say without a shadow of a doubt that none of them died in that wilderness those 3 days? Had any of them died in those 3 days, they would have wrote 4 chapters trying to explain why they suffered so hard for God. But you know what God was showing them? That when they go through those barren times, God is still God, and God is going to take care of them. I tell you, we love it when we walk through big waters and God's worked a miracle, and we look and say, good night, look at that water that we can just see backed up there, and we can stick our finger in the wall of that water, and we can walk on that solid, jailed ground in the midst of the bottom of the Red Sea. Oh, listen, we want to praise God in big waters, but oh, it's a different thing when we go through barren waters, and we have to learn to trust God, that that's where our faith will grow. You say, preacher, what does it mean? Big waters, God can take and make them miracle waters. But God lets us go through barren waters that we might make us mature in Him. Well, look at verse 23. I'll move to my third thought. The Bible said in verse 23, and when they came to Mirah, they could not drink the waters of Mirah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Mirah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? I not only want us to see in this chapter the big waters that God can turn into miracle waters, the bitter waters that God can turn into maturing waters, but look here at the bitter waters. You see, water is not bitter within itself. You say, preacher, all water is the same? That's exactly right. It's what's in the water that makes the difference to the water. You see, water is all the same. Now, there may be some waters that fish ain't fit to eat out of, and water may be so contaminated that it ain't drinkable, but my friend, it's not the water that is bitter and that is ruined, but it's what's in the water. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? Did you know life itself is full of bitterness? Life itself has got things that we really don't like in our lives. But I tell you, we can go through some of the deepest and darkest trials and valleys that we've ever walked through. But oh, listen, just like the flowing stream that comes down from out of the mountain, the farther that water goes, the more stuff can get in it, the more it will become contaminated, and my friend, it will become bitter and unfit to drink. That's the way life is. Bitterness comes from what is added into the water. And life, it, my friend, becomes bitter sometimes because of what is added. You say, preacher, I didn't ask for things to be put in my life. No, my friend, I've been through trials that, my friend, I didn't sign up for. I've been through burdens that I didn't volunteer for. But I'll tell you, listen, when we go through bitter waters, then, my friend, we learn through bitter waters that God can take bitter waters and make them sweet. You know how God can take bitter waters and make them sweet? You know what you can do with trials and burdens and heartaches and troubles that come down your way of life? I tell you, you can do exactly what Moses done. Moses took a tree and he cut it down and he threw it into the water. And my friend, it took a tree to turn the bitter waters into sweet water and drinkable water. You know what you can do? You can take your troubles that's on you. You can take the burdens that you're carrying. You say, preacher, I don't know how in the world I'm ever going to work my problems out. You can't work them out. All you can do, you can become bitter if you want to. But oh, if you'll come and let God take the cross, that tree, and take those bitter waters that's in your life, God can make them drinkable and bearable. The Bible didn't say that the water was made bearable here or drinkable, but it was made sweet. Some of us are just getting through our problems, but the cross can take your problems and make them sweet. I tell you, the cross can take bitter waters and it can be turned into mercy waters. Are you listening tonight? God can take bitter, big waters and turn them into miracle waters. God can take, my friend, bitter waters and turn them into mercy waters. And God can take barren water and turn it into maturing waters. But look in verse 27. I give you the fourth water that here in this chapter. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. Now, let me get this correct. How many tribes are there in the nation of Israel? 12. How many wells are found here in verse 27? 12. If I didn't know any better, I'd say, hey, if God can take big waters and turn them into miracle waters, if God can take the barren waters and turn them into maturing waters, if God can take bitter waters and turn them into mercy waters, God can take the blessed waters. Oh, bless you and I, just like He did the nation of Israel. Hey, listen, look here in verse 27. Each year you and I will face all sorts of water in our life, but I want to rejoice that there is a place of blessed water. Some of you are here tonight. You're blessed at what God's done for you. I'm blessed. I told the Lord when my wife got cancer, I fell on my face as I had never done in all of my ministry. The day we left London, Kentucky, and the doctors told my wife that she had cancer, and we were going down that interstate back home, she was crying, and my daughter was crying in the back seat of our vehicle, and my wife looked over at me and said, we've given our life to God. We've went to every place the Lord has ever led us. We're at church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And church activities, we're there. You run yourself to death visiting people and going to the hospital. You're there when they have surgery. You're there when they die and you preach their funeral. Why would God let this happen to us? And I looked over at my wife with tears swelled up in my eyes, and I said, I don't have the answer. But I tell you, God showed me some things since my wife has went through this sickness that I never knew. I found assurance in the Word of God. There's big waters that we face, but oh, sometimes we don't think we can cross them. We can't by ourselves, but God can take big waters and turn them into miraculous waters, miracle waters. God can take the barrenness in our lives. There's been times that, my friend, I didn't think I'd ever get a message, and I'd study and study. I felt dry down deep in my soul. And I'd pray, and I couldn't seem to find the heart of God. But all in those barren times, I trusted God. I listened to what His Word says. And God, my friend, through those barren times, has matured me. Oh, there's been bitterness in my life. There's been ups and downs. There's been valleys that we've went through. And bitterness is almost, hey, I just about left the ministry one time because of bitterness that boiled up in my heart. But God can take that bitterness, and oh, if we bring it to the tree, to the cross, God can take bitter waters and make them mercy waters. But oh, here we find that God brought them here in verse 27 to a place where there were 12 wells. He brought them to blessed waters. I tell you, God's been so good to me and my wife and me and my family. Some of you here tonight, and you've got your family, and God's blessed you, and God's been good to you. Oh, you're in blessed waters. I tell you, we've got the blessings of God upon us. Hey, you're breathing God's air right about now. God's let your old heart beat all this time, and not one time. Listen, back in Eastern Kentucky, in my old cabinet shop where I don't use a whole lot like I used to, but there's a big old air compressor sitting over there in the corner, one of them big ones, honey. I mean, to run all them sanders and stuff. And did you know what? That thing, the switch gets clicked off of it every night when I walk out of there, when I'm working in there. Hey, God's given me a pump right here that's been beating for almost 57 years. Now, it may quit any time. Don't tell me we ain't blessed. Hey, a backslid Methodist was standing shouting right about now. Amen. We're blessed. We're blessed. Oh, God can take big waters, make them miracle waters. Barren waters, make them maturing water. Bitter waters, and make them mercy water. But God can take blessed waters. And listen, He can make them wonder, mighty waters. Amen. I tell you, I want to ask you tonight, what kind of waters are you facing in your life? I don't know you, your heart tonight. You the only one knows your heart. But I tell you what, you ought to get on your face before God. You ought to say to God, God, you give me blessed waters. Betty asked me there a moment ago, said, how's them granddaughters? Little faith and hope. I wished I could bring them down here. They need to come down here. But it's hard for them to get out of school and come at this time of year. They're almost 7 years old tonight. Right now they're almost 7 years old. But before I left this morning, before they went off to school, I go up and see them every day. I help get their breakfast ready and help feed them and we have prayer, and I eat breakfast with them, eat a bowl of cereal. And this morning, before they went out the door, Mommy said, my daughter Joy said, now girls, Papa's going to leave. He won't be back till Friday. And said, you better tell him you love him. And little Hope looked up and said, Papa, can we sing you a song? They love to sing. You ought to hear them sing. They know every song that I know. And they sung that song. I had a birth I can't remember, but one I can't forget. They sung that song for me. I tell you what, I about had a fit right there in the kitchen. Amen. I'm blessed. I'm blessed, honey. I'm blessed, thank God, for my grandchildren. And we're blessed today. And little Hope, she had surgery last week at University of Kentucky. They operated on both of her eyes. And she came through the surgery just fine. And when we went up on Monday to do the pre-op, and then went back Wednesday and they done the surgery, I went with them. And I had Faith sitting on my little lap. I got to tell you this. I'm talking about blessed waters. And I was sitting there, and the doctor came in. She did. She's a wonderful eye doctor. And I had Faith sitting on my lap, and Joy had a little Hope. And the doctor came in and was looking at little Hope. And little Hope looked up at the doctor and said to the woman, doctor said, am I going to have surgery? And the doctor looked at her and said, yes, Hope, you're going to have both your eyes operated on. Instantly, she began to cry. Big tears started coming down her face. I was holding Faith. Faith got out of my, got down. She just got down. I didn't know what she was going to do. I just thought she wanted to stand. But when she got down, she went over to little Hope while the doctor was still talking to her and said, Hope, it's going to be all right. The Lord's going to be with you, and we're going to be right here with you. Come right back, sit down in my lap. That was it. Hey. Glory to God, don't tell me we ain't blessed. We've been blessed with blessed waters. What's God blessed you with? I could be like Benny tonight. We don't know what's going to happen to us. We only got this moment. Don't know what's going to happen. Next year I may not be here. You may not be here. I'll tell you what you ought to do tonight. You'll say, preacher, I'm glad that we've got a God that can take big waters and turn them into miracle waters. I'm glad that we've got a God that can take barren waters and make them into maturing waters. I'm glad God can take our bitter waters and make them into mercy waters. But I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to get that wife and that husband. You ought to get them children by the hand. If you ain't got nobody, come by yourself. You ought to come up here and say, God, thank you for blessing me. You see, that one you sat beside of may not be here next year. You better thank him. You better thank him for his goodness. We better thank God we've got a church where we can come and hear preaching like we'll hear this week. Because there'll come a day when it won't be going on. Amen? We're blessed. We're blessed. Let's stand. They're going to come get a song. Brother Richardson will be here. Father, I want to thank you tonight, God, for your precious word. How it can encourage and challenge our hearts. God, I pray that this week that you'll take the good word of God and give us something that'll help us. I want you to get the honor and the glory for all that you do. Thank you for blessing my wife and my family. Thanking you that you give me a good church to pastor. I thank you for this church and for this dear pastor that I call my friend. I thank you that you bless me. God, I pray that you'd bless this church. Have your will and way now. We'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.